Guys, I'm evolving as we speak. Every single day, I evolve into a new, better human being, and I will tell you the latest evolution of my abilities as a human being.
You're not lactose intolerant anymore?
No, I'm definitely still lactose intolerant. But the last few weeks, while I've been eating breakfast, you know, I've got my big thing of water, and I'll be eating, and then I'll start choking a little bit, and I'll try to, like, drink.
Is this every day?
Does this happen?
Not every day, but, like, frequently. Once a week, maybe.
Have you seen a doctor?
So you're saying you live with someone who every morning is like, oh, that's just Russ's morning choke.
Yeah,
I shouldn't go in there.
That's probably true.
He gets false so alarm. Embarrassed if I see him choking.
Now, it should be noted that I, for a while, was, like, drinking water to try to clear the choke out. You know how it is?
Yeah, sure.
That's what science says, to clear the choke out. Now,
it does, yeah, because when you have food lodged in your windpipe, mm-hmm. you need its good friend water to also go down windpipe to show it what for.
Definitely true.
To show it, to guide it tenderly down the windpipe.
I have
windpipe.
A feeling that however this thought ends is wilder than whatever he's saying right now, so we should just let it turn on through.
So, this happened a lot where I'd start choking and I try to, regardless, it didn't usually go great. Basically, one of two things happened. One, I'd waterboard myself and basically couldn't breathe for 30 seconds because I tried to force the water down. Yeah. Option two, my mouth would be full and my nose has been kind of stuffed, so I couldn't breathe and there was really nowhere for the water to go, so I just spit the water all over myself.
Awesome.
So that happened a bunch of times. This morning, started happening again. My brain reached a point where I was like, wait a minute, grab the glass, Russ, just spit it out back into the glass. And I did that, and you know what, guys? We're great.
Wait.
You just poured water, you poured ineffective water into your choking mouth and then just dumped the water right back out into the glass?
Well, I spit the water back into the glass once I started choking.
What you're describing is a milestone that my son hit between the age of 2 and 3.
This is the problem with doing this as the cold open is anytime we start with a Russ-centric cold open, my impulse is always, 100% of the time, is always, fuck video games. I don't want to talk about them. Can we spend a half hour on Russ? Who just gets, I cannot believe you get weirder as you get older. I've known you for a decade. First off, getting sexier and more handsome every day, infuriating. The beard looks fantastic. Let me get that out of the way so I can say, how are you becoming more maddening as the years progress?
The older handsomeness, Justin, is his award for not killing himself while doing the most basic human function.
And I guess our reward
for
tolerating and embracing him all these years.
He got this punim.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best Resident Evil game.
My name is Christopher McElroy, and I know the best Resident Evil game of the week.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and I know the best Resident Evil game of the moment.
My name is Ross Frasher, and I know the best game of the week.
I want to start off by saying this is the besties. This is the show where friends discuss the latest and greatest in home interactive entertainment. It's a video game club, and just by listening, you have joined. You've been conscripted into our ranks. So welcome to you. Usually we talk about a new game or a bevy of new games, but we have recently begun trying to ferret out the best of certain franchises. We did it with Zelda. We did it with certain years of games. And we are neck deep in the Resident Evil franchise. If you didn't listen last week, go back and we winnowed down a list of what was it, Russ? What did we start with?
We started with 10, and now we're down to 4.
We're down to 4. And I wanted to give a little bit of credit before we begin to some of the other Resident Evil games that we didn't even discuss. And it seems like a huge oversight to me. First off, Resident Evil on the game.com. Now, I don't know if you guys played this one or not.
Oh, of course.
We got the big ones. We got we didn't talk about all the Resident Evil games because there are too many. And a bad Resident Evil game is just about as bad as it gets. So we are down to four. What do we got?
We've got Resident Evil 4 going up against Resident Evil 2. Holy cow. And we've got the newbies, Resident Evil 7 versus Resident Evil Village in the semifinals.
It's a good pairing. Also, just to finish Justin's idea, all the non-Resident Evil core games are pretty much bad, but the best non-core Resident Evil games are the knockoffs. Dino Crisis, Parasite Eve. Those games do deserve a little bit of love.
Parasite Eve was a Square Enix joint.
Yeah, so I'm saying like games
but
that
it's
were
an
like,
alike. I mean, it's an alike.
They're building.
I guess so. I mean, I'm a big fan of Resident Evil Gaiden for the Game Boy Color. You know, they did their best with what the limited bits and bytes that they had available to them.
Sure. So which one's first of these? Is it 2v4?
We're going to be doing it 2v, Resident Evil 2 versus Resident Evil 4 first.
I will champion Resident Evil 2, which goes against my better instincts, because 4 might be my winner, but I, after replaying the 2 remake, I think I recognized what a triumph that game is. And I definitely played it a bit on the original PlayStation, even though the first one gave me such terrible nightmares. Mm. But you want to talk about a game that just kind of steps it up in every like conceivable way. I feel like the very first sequel to a new IP, especially during that PlayStation 1 era, was usually pretty bad. Like usually you had a pretty tight turnaround time.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sort of cashing in going on that was very, very, I would say, prevalent back in the day, maybe still a bit today, but not quite as bad as it was back then. But man, Resident Evil 2 beats the shit out of Resident Evil 1 in quality, in scope and ambition, in, might I say, fun factor.
Fun factor, yeah, can't discount it.
Well, fun factor's through the roof.
But let me ask you this thing. Do you think that would be the case if Resident Evil 2 hadn't gotten that remake that basically made it like modern day playable?
Yeah. I for sure think, I mean, yes, the Resident Evil 2 on PlayStation is still like a fantastic game, it's got the tanky controls of Resident Evil 1, but like a lot of the, I mean, it's still got some dog shit puzzles, but fewer of them, I would argue. Yeah. And it also is just such a bigger package. You have the two different protagonists with like sort of diverging storylines.
You did have two kid protagonists in the first game, just to fact
well,
check.
Yeah, but that I feel like that the difference between those two wasn't quite as dramatic.
That's
one could
true.
Pick yeah. one could pick locks, and one was big. That was about it. Just the environments were a lot more. I mean, it was a bigger world. Yeah. You had all of Raccoon City, more or less, and then the police station, the sewers. I'm trying to remember all
the comic
of the
book shop.
The comic book shop, sure. There's just so much. There's so much there.
Two is very, very good.
It also expanded sort of like the combat, I guess, just by virtue of adding sort of more weapons and more ways to kind of interact with the world. I feel like by the end of Resident Evil 1, you are still sort of scrambling mm-hmm. for survival. But at the end of Resident Evil 2, that's like the first time that they're like, here's a grenade launcher, like, and a lot of ammo for it. Go, you know, blow up all this stuff, which, you know, would eventually lead to the series' downfall, but they use it sparingly enough in Resident Evil 2. I don't know how, if it is fair for us to factor in the remake.
I think we need to, because it's not close, in my opinion. Resident Evil 4 destroys the PlayStation
the original,
Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
Like, not even close. So
that's
I think
fair.
We need to.
But if you had to sight unseen play one of these, I feel like the Resident Evil 4 is a very good game. I'm not discounting that, but like the improvements that have made to Resident Evil 2 in the remake make it seem so much more relevant and a pleasure to play and cool to look at. And like if you're gonna play one right now in 2021, and there's probably a lot of people for whom like are coming to this late who have not experienced those games, I feel like 2 is currently like the better experience just because it hasn't gotten like the...
Is there anybody who that could be? Like, who could that be?
Who haven't played either of them?
Who hasn't played Resident Evil 4? This guy.
Please don't overestimate, like, please don't underestimate our decrepitness. Anytime you do, start to, like, forget how decrepit we are as human beings.
We're and
how,
like, old,
there's yeah. a new, like, generation of people who, like, will need to have
Justin,
9/11
Justin,
explained
I'm talking
to
about
them.
Myself.
Like,
Chris Plant
about Chris
did not
Plant
play Resident Evil 4.
Me. I know.
Chris is the young, nubile, sort of
I'm a zoomer,
fleshed.
Baby.
Yeah.
So how did 4 come? How did 4 hit you then?
Terrible.
New guy. Yeah.
Terrible.
Bud, that's what I'm saying.
It is not pleasurable. The controls are extremely not fun. The beginning of the game is extremely not fun with those controls. To be fair, I did my research because I already can feel my at replies. They're so much fun right now.
What's
I
that
watched
at? Is that at
a
plan?
Lot of it once I couldn't stand playing it anymore. And I get it. It looks awesome when somebody has the ability to control it. I think the remake of this is going to do it a huge service, and it will be awesome, and maybe it'll become my favorite Resident Evil game. I think the difference between this and Resident Evil 2, going back and playing Resident Evil 2, is it's still tight corridors, and the game is designed with the tank controls in mind. I think the problem with Resident Evil 4 is it comes right in the middle of two different epochs of control, right? You got, like, it's kind of a tank game, but it kind of wants to be a modern action game, and as a result, it feels really, really brutal to me, a new player, playing it in the year of our Lord 2021.
Okay, Chris Plant, this is important.
Yes.
I know you said you played it.
Yes.
How far did you play it?
I got did past you? The first village.
Okay, so you okay. got basically into the reason I ask, and this is something that I told you as you were struggling with it, is because that first village area is maybe the hardest part of the entire game. It's really
or
one of the...
Or potentially the entire series. Yeah. It is the wildest way to start out a game is saying, you have nothing.
Yeah.
Here's a village with 30 people in it, and they're all going to try to kill you all at once, and we are not going to tell you what the fuck's going on, where to go, how to survive, what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bonkers.
And I was going to say, I think the rest of the game is more designed around the controls than that first area is.
And honestly, if we did not know a remake was going to be coming in the next couple of years, right? Like, it's going to happen. I probably would commit to it and just play through because it's like, whatever, I have to learn it. This is going to be my opportunity to play this game. I'll make it work.
Sure.
But between the remake and the VR experience, which I think I would much prefer... just in terms of, like, aiming, it's like, man, you know what? I know that I'm going to like this game. I'd rather just save it for a version of it that I'm going to find, like, the most pleasurable. Again, none of this is fair, I think, in terms of, like, fully docking it, because we're just talking about it, like, literally, what if you just are that random person you happen to be picking it up today? My defense of Resident Evil 2 is I couldn't have it as a little kid because my mom said it was too scary, and she spoke with the person at Babbage's, and they said, you would be a bad mom if you gave them this to your kid. So I coveted it for years. And then when I finally got it, it was the rare game that completely lived up to it. Like, it was just like,
when you
I can't
finally
believe...
got it, were you playing the original or were you playing the remake?
I was playing the original. Yeah. I mean, it was only like 3 or 4 years later. But when I played it, it was like, wow, this is as adult and as scary and cool as I thought it would be. You know, so many of those games as a kid, like Mortal Kombat, you play it and you're like, oh, this isn't actually. This is just kind of like a mediocre fighting game. Resident Evil 2, you play it, and like, wow, this is...
A lot of big ideas.
The original... Okay, come on. The original
no,
Mortal
okay,
Kombat
yes,
is
fine.
A mediocre fighting game.
I want to really quickly come to the defense of the opening of Resident Evil 4, because I've been sitting here thinking about it. The Resident Evil games have a bad tendency to, like, blow up their own power curve to the point where it's not a scary thing at all, and it becomes, like... a big kind of blockbuster meathead shooting game, which is not its core competency. And I think by the end of 3 and Code Veronica, like, they had explored the power curve that they had sort of initially installed in Resident Evil to, like, the fullness of their ability. And so it almost makes sense that in Resident Evil 4, you start out in this, like, horrifying scramble where you are ill-equipped to handle, like, this flood of zombies that are coming after you. And then once you get past that, it's a slow curve of, like, finding treasures to give to the trader to, like, upgrade your pistol. And my favorite thing, I think Resident Evil 4 has the best, like, RPG
totally
progression-y
agree.
Mechanics of all of the games, totally. Even the newest ones. Like, finding a new weapon and upgrading it feels so impactful because you are always up against it in Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
And for me, like, that is, I know, not the core DNA of the series and maybe not the thing that most people judge it by, but, like, I don't know. I am still drawn to Resident Evil 4 because I walk into a body of water and I'm like, I gotta cut up these fish with my knife or else I am not going to have enough like health to like make it through this next section.
Yeah, I feel ownership over the character in Resident Evil 4 in ways that I really don't in most of the other games because I am making these impactful, like, what pistol am I using? What shotgun am I using? How am I arranging the fucking briefcase, which is the best thing in any Resident Evil game? I love that briefcase. And having that inventory system made me feel ownership. Here's a little secret, y'all. The story and the lore of Resident Evil is fucking bullshit stupid. I'm sorry for people that like it. It's fucking bullshit stupid. So all that really leaves you with is the experience of playing it and the, you know, here's this moment where I shot a rocket launcher at a giant guy that was coming at me. That stuff's exciting and great and fun. But if you remove the lore stuff, all you really have is who are you playing as? In my case, I'm Leon in Resident Evil 4, and I've selected my whole loadout, and I feel like I am in control of how I'm playing the game, whereas in a lot of the other games, I feel like I'm kind of following a pretty set path in how those games play.
But I do think you got to give Ethan Winters a hand.
Okay. Come on, Christopher. Terrible. Come on, Christopher.
We're not talking about Ethan Winters yet. we can't do that. Let's talk. Can we also, I don't want to discount spin kicks. Resident Evil 4 does have the ability to do what you want. When a zombie is closing on you, it is almost always a frustrating experience in any game with slow-moving enemies like this. Mm-hmm. Except Resident Evil 4 finally says, like, what if you just fucking spin kick? And then the zombies are 100% vulnerable to spin kicks.
Yep.
Basically, it's insta-kill. as far as I'm concerned.
That's the thing I don't understand about Resident Evil fandom, though. I feel like so many times a new Resident Evil game comes out and people are like, yeah, I like the beginning when it plays it straight, but eventually it just becomes too much. You know, not like Resident Evil 4. That's the masterpiece, and it's like, what?
No,
you're like firing rockets and spin-kicking
it takes a while.
People.
It takes
again,
a while
like,
to get there.
That's every Resident Evil game. People talk about it like this isn't how every Resident Evil game works. They all take this trajectory.
Yeah,
they all get bonkers.
I think the pacing in 4 is better than the other games for the most part because it takes so long before it really becomes silly.
Yeah, it's not that long.
Is it like 26 hours?
Let's. It's pretty long. Sounds good to me. What are we feeling here? How are we leaning?
Because I'm gonna let you three vote because I feel like I'm a little bit on. I'll dive in if after you three vote.
Okay. I think it's 4th for that one reason of it is the progression of 4 is I think the best in the series.
Yeah,
I think and I really like it. Juice.
Yeah, 4 is cool. I mean, I don't have a lot of religion here. I mean, I think 2 is cool. I know myself. I have a bias towards games that have been updated towards modern sensibilities and have become more pleasurable experiences. I'm trying to think of it like this. If 4 got a modern update in the same way that 2 had, I would probably be going for 4. Mm-hmm. 4. It's just a richer experience overall. I'm still taking into account the remake with 2, but I feel like that's not necessarily enough to put it over the top of 4. So I would lean 4.
I know we have a lot of new listeners since we, you know, dropped Spotify, a little Mayor of Easttown right there.
Is that how the relationship?
We dropped Spotify. I'll never forget. We were like, this is too far. We went to them and we grabbed them by their heads. And we said, listen, it's Joe Rogan or us, baby. And we were,
they didn't even think about it. But no,
how did you get in here?
if you're new to the show, you should go back and listen to the episode we did on both the Resident Evil 2 and the Resident Evil 3 remakes. Because those games are great. Especially that Resident Evil 2 remake might be the best remake ever of a video game.
Like, it's pretty good.
It's incredible. Yeah.
And also, I just looked it up. Resident Evil 4 for VR, I think it drops later this year.
Yeah, it is.
I can't wait.
Quest 2, which is finally a reason for me to upgrade.
You can type on the typewriter in VR.
Yeah, you can. You can throw your gun and knife up in the air and catch them. Maybe, probably even stab yourself.
I'm so excited. Okay. Okay, I think that sounds fine. Resident Evil 4 wins.
All right. Now it's just 7v8. You want to talk... I feel like... Juice can, if you are the fan of the modern shit, this is about as modern as it gets.
I mean, it's cool. This is tough because obviously there's some recency bias. I just had a great time playing 8.
Have we all finished 8 at this point?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. But we'll try to keep it, obviously, like, we're not going to get into spoiler stuff. But I had a great time playing 8. And I think that there is so much to like about it. I feel like, this is one where it really does come down to more of a matter of taste, because I feel like 7 is a better horror experience in terms of like, whoa, I'm scared. And 8 is a better like action gameplay kind of experience.
Yeah.
They're both excellent games. I mean, 7, if you don't have any context here, 7 came out. We did this a little bit last week, but like 7 was an incredible rebirth for this franchise that had been languishing for a decade. Completely back to its roots, back to not even back to its roots, but like a reevaluation of what it means to be this franchise in the modern era.
It's very intimate. It's a haunted house experience. Like, that's straight over the plate haunted house with like a bigger than life cast of characters.
And they can
that's
grab weird. You, which normally you can't get grabbed in a haunted house, but here they can.
Here they can touch you and not get fired because it's not their job. It's their life.
And you are allowed to attack them back, which is definitely not cool in a haunted house, typically. My only real knock against 7 is that in the last quarter to a third, it loses a lot. It changes the environment and loses a lot of like the really special character of the first part of the game in a way that I feel like kind of breaks the tension a little bit. It becomes much more combat heavy and action focused, and I think it succeeds less often than it does in the first part of the game.
And 8 does the same thing, but without spoilers, it does it in... It provides more context that makes
Eight is better at what it does, at that twist, than 7, even though it is an extremely, one might say, identical twist that 7 does. It does it much better.
Yeah. 8 also has a better sense of humor. These two games, I would compare it to... Batman Arkham Asylum versus, what was the one right after the city?
Arkham City. Arkham City.
Yeah, where I think 7 is close to flawless in that, like, each section leads into the next, but it's a very compact world that you're in. You know, it's like that house and, like, the neighboring structures. So there's not a lot of room for it to slip up. 8, for better and for worse, has the village. And there are parts of that I like a lot, where you're like, oh, I can go down the river and I can find these like bonus things, and that's very fun. Or there's other side quest bosses. All that's great. Then there's also parts where you're like stuck in the village and you can't figure out which direction to go because the map makes it look like you can go down a path, but you can't. And that is just messy. There's just a little bit more messiness in 8 at random points. But I think the individual components, like once you actually get to where you're going, are better pretty much top to bottom than 7, barring the first character that you fight, the dad in 7. I think his entire, like, that first period in the house in 7 is fantastic.
So
and after
good.
That, I think it kind of, like, it's not bad.
I disagree, man. Pretty much every boss fight in 7 completely kicks ass. Completely kicks ass.
Yeah, there's a chainsaw fight. I don't know if you remember the fact.
There's a chainsaw fight. There's a
chainsaw duel.
The fight where the big worm mom is like climbing all over the building that you are inside and like trying to like play hide and seek with her. That
the bit with the car.
Well, the car. Yeah, the car is the one.
The car is part of the first one. Say what you will about 7. The boss fights are Much better than 8. I think 8's a great game, and I think 8 had a lot of incredible moments. And we've extolled the virtues of 8 very, very recently, so you don't need me to go on. But the boss fights in 7 and the characters in 7 and the way that, I don't know, how comprehensive that all is phenomenal, is absolutely
I think absolutely 8 great. Is only... I think 8... So not a lot of what you're talking about, I think, is the fact that 8 does try to loosen the reins a little bit on you. Like, it's not as tight of an experience, but I think that's by design, because they are trying to give you more flexibility in how much you, you know, how much of the world you are exploring, what kind of, like, strategy you want to take when you're exploring through, how thorough you want to be. I think that 8 is interesting in that... I feel like it is the first one of these where, like, you are not, it is not absolutely essential that, I mean, most survival horror games are very much about, like, walk into the room and get every last scrap of stuff that's littered about. And I feel like 8 lightens up on the resource management a little bit, that lets you focus on, like, the game parts rather than just the, you know, maddeningly clicking every interactive thing in the environment.
Yeah, it's designed, I think, in such a way that, like, technically you could beat the game if you're really just, like, being a total moron and, like, missing all the glowy bits. And because of that, it will feel a little bit mushier, and there will be times where you feel overpowered for a circumstance because you've been really thorough previously. Exactly, I like that, because I feel like I'm rewarded for my persistence and, like, checking corners and stuff like that. But I also realize, but I also acknowledge that, like, I really dislike the, like, stress of playing a game where, like, I'm scared all the time. And and I've spoken about this before. The reason why I was not able to get into 7 was because it is, like, kind of the opposite sort of game that I enjoy playing. But I know tons of people who do enjoy that.
Yeah, so it's so wild, because I just talked about how 4 is one of my favorites because of the progression and the gear and the sort of RPG-iness of it, and 8 basically replicates that, right? Like,
I think it's still better in 4, but it is very
Better in 4. I agree with you, but for whatever reason, like, 7 had the coins you could find that you could buy, like, a few different upgrades here or there, and I don't know. We've gone pretty long on this, and I'm curious of how everyone is feeling, because I weirdly think it's 7 for me. I think I like 7 better.
Yeah, I think I lean towards 7. I adore both these games. I think I'm on Injustice camp, where I think I like 8 a lot more than most people do right now. I think it rules. But 7 is just...
Is there a vibe against 8? Are people not loving 8?
I think people like it. I think people like it a lot, but I don't think it's had as rapturous of a moment as 7. But 7, just the vibe, in the same way that I love the energy of Resident Evil 1. I mean, we talked about all the ways that Resident Evil 2 is better than 1. I personally prefer, like, the vibe of 1 more. I like that kind of, like, compact, classic, you know, like, early Romero horror energy.
Yeah.
I found 8. I think it's got to be 8 for me. It's, like, such a pleasurable experience. I love the balance between horror and action. I think the there's a better sense of humor in 8 that's so fun and funny.
Yeah.
And the stakes of 8 are much more relatable and understandable than they have been. And I also, like, we haven't touched on this much, but, like, I love the structure of 8. I love that you, like, are going into, like, you're in a hub world that you'll return to and will gradually expand, but then when you go into these other environments, it's with the acknowledgement that, like, I'm not coming back here. So it's like I it's this great sense of progression where you're like, okay, I'm going to clear all this out because this is my one chance to get this stuff. I mean, you can go back, but, like, it's not necessarily designed for you to have to do that. To venture off into these hub worlds and then come back to a central environment where you can breathe a little bit, while still there's a sense of danger and stuff does happen in the central hub, but, like, it feels so good to have these ebbs and flows between tension and a rebuilding phase that I think makes the tense moments land that much more. It's more flexible. I love that you're not scavenging for every single pistol shot, so where it, like, it encourages you, like, hey, shoot these guys, like, go for it. We'll find some more bullets somewhere, don't sweat it. that's not the tension. The tension is like things happening to you in the environment and not an artificial tension created by scarcity of resources. It's got to be 8 for me.
What I would say in defense of 8 is I think, you know, there are scary parts in 8. Certainly the like dollhouse, which we've talked about at length, is like a very creepy element, like moment. And what I liked about that is that it was at most 40 minutes long and I had that experience and it was like satisfying. It wasn't this like oppressive, I've got 4 more hours of this, which is the vibe that I right. was getting from 7. I feel bad because again, it does boil down to taste and whether you like that experience, like whether you like playing Alien Isolation or whatever and hiding from a terrible thing for hours on end. I don't. I much prefer the, you know, action mixed with occasional terror, which is why I like Village. So I don't know if that convinced anyone to go otherwise, but
I would switch.
Justin makes a great point. Like for me, it wasn't the structure. The strength of the structure wasn't like this feeling of, oh, I need to complete all of this stuff because I'm not coming back here, as much as it was like, I'm going to walk through this door into this new kingdom and not know what kind of genre it's going to be going for, what kind of vibe it's going to be. You know, this one is like an adventure puzzle game, more or less. And this one is just a straight up, like, mow down just hordes of zombies. Like, that was very exciting. And while 7 is more, like, obviously cohesive sort of experience until the last third, that was super fun. In my mind, they are very, very, very close. So I don't mind switching.
I'm switching just for the moment when you meet a character later in the game and they give you a very powerful weapon and then tell you to be subtle about it. Justin's comment about like the sense of humor in 8 is pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
All okay. Right.
We'll do 8.
That leads us with Resident Evil 4 versus Resident Evil Village coming up in the finals after this break. You think it's a tie?
That's certainly not a tie.
That seems bad.
Okay, can we do that? 8 is a higher number than 4. Yeah, so I mean,
that's true, but the game is not called Resident Evil 8. It's called Village. So is Village a higher number than 4?
It has more than 4 letters in it.
It does. And it also has the 8 base in Roman numerals. And I don't know if you saw it. You know how they made some of the letters different colors?
It's kind of subtle.
It's pretty subtle and cute. Winky.
The fact that we've landed on these two games, does this mean that they should just make all Resident Evil games in a village?
Or they should make them by 4s, right? So we won't get another truly great one until 12.
Uh-oh.
Well, 11 will be pretty good, too, and we'll be torn about whether 11 or 12 is better. Golly. We've done ourselves a real disservice here because like we do not excel at, here's a great game from the past that was formative for the series and also in a lot of ways the genre as a whole versus here is the better version of that came out.
Okay,
that's a very good point, Griffin, and I would like to touch on that. If you're listening to this, you should understand that like what we are doing at this point, at least from my perspective, is codifying our own metrics versus weighing the objective quality of these two properties. Like it's irrelevant. I mean it's
our favorite, right?
Yeah. Right,
there are no objective properties of games, spoiler alert.
Well, but the podcast isn't called The Favoritesies,
right? But I'm saying that this is more complicated because in a way that the Zelda conversation was not, because those games you can still go back to and they can succeed or fail based on their own merits in a way that like a lot of games in this franchise cannot stand because they're bumping up against a lot of like 3D cruft. Link to the Past still, like, you don't need, we didn't have to weigh the HD remake of Link to the Past versus Breath of the Wild. Link to the Past looked great. It like whips ass and still whips ass and has whipped ass. That's why it's muddier with the climate of remakes here.
I think it is somewhat muddier, but in this case, despite what Plant said in the intro, I do believe that you can go back and play 4 right now if you can get past that first part, which is genuinely the hardest part of the game, and adapt to the controls, which are a little hinky, but totally manageable, and it is a stunning game. I also wanted to like I mean, there's obviously a ton of similarities between these two games. So I'm going to just talk about a few of them. And my personal preference is I still lean towards 4. And here's a couple reasons why. One, they both have briefcases. That is true.
Yeah.
The briefcase in 4 is a more meaningful briefcase.
Better.
Because you actually need to consider, should I pick this thing up or not? Whereas the briefcase in 8, basically, it might as well be infinite because you can carry so much shit in that briefcase.
In 4, you have to make decisions like, do I get rid of this one big egg so that I can fit these two smaller eggs in my briefcase? Will I get more health from the small brown egg and the small white egg or one big white egg? What a game.
I love, though, but in 8, sometimes you open up your briefcase and you're like, God, I got a lot of chicken in here. I gotta clear out some of this chicken.
That is just one example of something that I particularly like.
These two games are conversations with each other, which is very cool. I mean, even the shopkeeper in this game, which is a sort of idea from 4, the shopkeeper is like, it is kind of a weird, maybe it works better in the original Japanese, but it's a weird moment where he's like, what are you buying? It's like, that's something a friend of mine I used to know would say sometimes. Like, you didn't need to do that. that was not the elegant way of handling this.
I enjoyed the merchant in 4 better just because his shit was much more straightforward. He didn't talk to me cryptically about my weird space baby. He was just like, I'm here to provide goods and services, and you have a bunch of crystal skulls.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second, Griffin.
Because yes.
I actually disagree with you on this.
Mm. Okay.
I love the addition in 8 of a force that understands this world. It's a classic, like, fantasy.
It's basically Tom Bombadil.
Yeah.
A force that understands this world better than you do, that may be friend or maybe foe, mm-hmm. and is kind of, like, on the sidelines somewhere, where, like, they understand what is going on a deeper level than you do. And I think that if you have a character like that, it makes it seem a lot less like a game designer created the whole thing and more like this world that has a lot of stuff going on underneath the surface that you don't necessarily see. And I feel like that character of the Duke, like, lends the world a lot of credibility. Like, I think it makes it seem more cohesive and, like, there's a cooler backstory of stuff going on than just, like, video game levels designed.
But don't, I got that same vibe from the shopkeeper in 4 without them being as explicit about it. Like, the fact that this guy is, like, constantly around it hinted at this idea that there's this, like, weird guy that's mystical and unexplained in a franchise that, like, over-explains everything. And that, like, level of subtlety and, like, lack of explanation worked for me better than it did in 8, where, like, not only is the guy around and constantly talking to you about, like, what you're doing, he also, like, plays a crucial role in the climax of the game, which seemed weird and, like, not necessarily, I don't know, didn't fit for me.
Why? I mean, drill down on that.
It's basically the idea of, what is it, Deus Ex Machina. The idea that, like, this magical godlike being.
It can't be Deus Ex Machina when the fool has been hanging around the whole time. That's not Deus
No, but he Deus shows Ex, up and
like,
basically,
there, like Deus Ex sitting in a car.
Without him, the climax of the game does not happen, right?
We're getting a little into spoiler territory.
We don't need to get into literary theory. I do agree with
Chris
Hoops.
Plant, for what it's worth, has never said that before in his life.
Never said that since, but it gave me chills to hear Chris say, let's not get into literary theory.
Gosh.
Anyway, go ahead, Plant.
I agree with Hoops. I like the character of the Duke a lot beyond the obvious likes. The visual design, I think, is complicated. I can't tell if they're trying to go for Humpty Dumpty, because obviously all of the Resident Evil characters assigned to a certain fairy tale. But when I was playing it, what it reminded me of was the Ghost of Christmas Past. Like this, like Justin said, this larger than life thing that is like weirdly all knowing, this like know me better man vibe of like this.
You mean
is a friend.
You said
is it past or present?
Present is the one that's like kind of a Santa.
That guy. Present. Thank you. But like, there is something like magical about him that I just enjoyed. I enjoyed like the look of his shop. But anyway, I don't want to get way too into the shopkeeper or the briefcase.
These are not the things that were so granular.
Let's talk about the actual like game stuff. I think what is exciting, and again, I'm only going off what I've watched Resident Evil 4, so I'm struggling here. But what I like about Resident Evil 4 is it does feel like a journey. Mm-hmm. It seems like it is a thing that stretches onward, and you're going through the castle, and you're going through like you're.
It feels like a Souls game or like a Castlevania game in that way, where you start small and then you're like constantly going big.
Yeah, but these are choices, right? Because then yeah. I also think Justin's right about the like the wheel approach of Resident Evil 8, where you're going mm-hmm. out to the different spokes. I think both those things work really well. I personally prefer the thing that Justin's talking about now. Like, I'm literally saying just, like, right now, where am I at in my love of video games? I love a really intentionally designed single-player video game. I think I'm just so exhausted on either the Souls format or the open-world format that having something that is a little bit more compact, you go into a place, you see everything there is to see in it, and then you come back and cash in your rewards and then go do it again and again and again. That really appeals specifically to me right now.
I just want to point out, because I don't think we've really mentioned this, is that 4 is a linear game. Like yeah. It has chapters, and when you leave a section of that world behind, I don't know that there's a part where you come back to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't think you can go like yeah, no.
So
yeah.
so it is, I mean, in that regard, 4 is also exceptionally intentional because it's linear.
Yes. When I say the difference here is it is not it's linear in a straight line, not like you go out and then you explore this like chunk of hub. Like when I say Odyssey, it is like it is a journey. It's 20 hours of like moving in a line, going along what it wants you to see. There's a ton of stuff. Again, yeah. I'm only going off of what I've watched, so I'm limited here. I need that sweet sweet Resident Evil 4 insight from y'all.
I almost wish we were doing this after the VR remake came out, because I am not joking when I say that the Wii version of Resident Evil 4 is the best version of it, because Chris is right. Like, I tried to play Resident Evil 4 on the Switch very recently, and the controls aren't like, they do not hold up to much scrutiny. Like, it did not take very, very long for 3D action game developers to like figure out how to do it a lot better than this. But just having, I don't know, it that power curve of 4 when it feels right, like mm-hmm. when it feels good, which I'm hoping they can do in the VR remake, is, oh God, it's so good. It's so good. And that's what it boils down to. I agree with everything you guys say about the structure of 8. It's Disneyland. Like, you go to the different worlds yeah. of it and like get these completely different experiences and then come back to the hub and see what you've unlocked to get. Like, that's fantastic. And if 8 wins, I'm fine with that, because I think it may be the better game. But I think my favorite thing about the entire Resident Evil franchise is playing 4 on the Wii over the course of like a weekend, and the like breathless excitement of like, I just got a new stock for my shotgun.
Yeah.
I have an idea. Are you ready? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we choose a temporary winner.
Whoa.
Did we write this down in pencil? Not
Whoa.
Pen. Not pen.
I love this.
We write it down in pencil. We say, this is what we're choosing right now. And we meet back up after.
So what you're saying is we temporarily give it to 8. And then we say, Resident Evil 4, come get your crown. If you think you can take it out of 8's hands,
it's up to you.
Come back. Come back and get it, then.
I like this. I think this is it.
Come back and get it if you want it. Don't get mad at us because you're old and look like dog shit.
Yeah.
I think...
Get it tight. Tighten it up a little
tighten
bit.
Tighten it a little.
Go crush some more reps. But please remember, it is about progress, not perfection.
Yeah.
Take the time for you, for sure. But then come get your fucking crown
if
you want
it so
bad. Come get
your crown. Tighten up the graphics on level 3 and then come get that crown. What was that from? Was that like a Full Sail commercial?
Yeah, I think it was a Full Sail commercial thing.
Shit, what a good
one. Fresh, can you live with that?
Yeah, I can live with that. I'm hopeful people won't be pissed by that decision.
People are
going to
be so mad. People are going to hate me so much.
Oh yeah, they will
much.
Be.
Okay, everyone blame Chris Plant.
But that just means we have an engaged listenership.
But listen, no, that just means that, like, you know, later this year, this fall, come November or December, you have to buy an expensive VR headset to be a part of the finale of this conversation.
Yeah, if Jake Paul and Mayweather convinced us anything, it's that building up a crazy duo matchup in the future will cause people to spend a bunch of money. So that's plan.
Yeah.
Also, before you rush to my Twitter and to spam my replies, do me a solid. Go buy Resident Evil 4 on Switch and try to play it. Cost $20. If you think that feels good, I will hear you out. Also, I'm gonna go back and play some more. Because I want to buy into this idea that Freshik has it. Now that I've gotten past the hard part, I'm going to suddenly like these controls. So
I don't think you're going to like
Wii.
Them.
Buy, but you can probably find it on like eBay or something to get Wii? It on Wii and get that and have a. That's your homework. I want you to play a Wii game in 2021.
You've played Resident Evil 4, but have you ever played Resident Evil 4 on Wii?
That's good shit, Juice. Thanks.
That's good.
Okay.
That's good, though.
All right.
Takes me back. Let's talk about other franchises. Congratulations for now. If Russ is okay with this, he's been strangely silent.
I'll live with it.
Okay, to Resident Evil 8.
Let's do some reader mail real quick.
Okay. Yeah. I asked people for some memories, and I dug up some ones that I liked. This one is from Andrew. I remember playing the demo of Resident Evil 4 at EB Games as a kid. The chaos of the opening in the village and the first time meeting one of the chainsaw guys left an impression on me that continues to this day.
Testament
to the quality of the game. If you are at an EB Games in a mall and you're like,
can still get scared.
Still get it.
That's a good demo right there.
This one is from a friend of the show, Druidcast. Leon Kennedy is one of my favorite characters in anything because of how much himbo energy he exudes. So I'm super torn between in Resident Evil 2 whenever he sees a zombie and yells, "What is that thing?" Or in Resident Evil 4 when he tells Salazar, "No thanks, bro." Honestly, all of 4 is perfect.
He is.
Do I think himbo? I don't know if himbo is quite right. I feel like Chris Redfield may be more himbo than Leon.
I don't know, dude. Leon in 4.
A lot of man candy in this franchise.
Yeah, Leon in 4 is a real sack of bricks. he is fantastic.
This one's from Alex. One of the most memorable moments for me was when Resident Evil 7 fully turns into a Resident Evil game. As soon as you get into the main hall of the house, doors have locks for specific keys, there's a shotgun that traps you in the room if you take it, and there's a double staircase just like Resident Evil 1. I just think the series is great at this, in general. Like, I think it's very good at like fan service without being like hollow for the most part.
Well, it depends on what they are servicing. Because if they're servicing ideas like this, it's great. If they're servicing, hey, everybody, here's Wesker, but now he's got cyborg parts, it's not.
It's even better.
Fair. And then one more. This is from Trainer Blue. Back before there was any kind of multiplayer, my friends and I would get together in a group and take turns playing Resident Evil 4's Mercenaries mode. You only got to play 5 minutes out of every 20, but I loved learning from watching other people play.
Great mode. It is in Village, and it is also great in Village. Highly recommend it.
What else have we been playing?
Can I go ahead, Russ? Tell me about Yinglet.
Yeah, Yinglet, which is spelled Yinglet, is a game made by Niflis, which is a long time indie developer. Made a game called Knit and Knit Stories way back when, and I was a huge fan of. This game is the basic elevator pitch is it's a platformer without platforms. You are kind of like a squid-like microscopic organism, and you're launching yourself from like puddle to puddle, but you're not actually landing. You just sort of like swim in each puddle, and you're using momentum to sort of like move yourself from place to place. It has incredible music that like dynamically changes as you progress through the levels. And it's all like hand-drawn, very pretty art. It's also $5 on Steam for Mac and PC, so kind of
this looks,
hard to...
This looks incredible. I can't believe I haven't heard of this.
Highly recommend it.
I've been playing Mighty Goose, which... did y'all see the trailer for this?
No.
No.
So imagine Metal Slug, right? Yeah. But you're a goose.
Love it.
And
perfect.
I saw the trailer and I was like, yeah, that looks fun, but like maybe this is just getting on the Untitled Goose Game like craze.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know how good this is actually going to be. Y'all, it is so good. It is so good. It is a truly fantastic modern Metal Slug type of game. For people who didn't play those games on Neo Geo arcade cabinets in the 90s, it is a 2D side-scrolling shooter. And it has, this game specifically, has some real Vlambeer, the studio that did Nuclear Throne and Lufthansa's energy. The shooting and the percussiveness of like hitting enemies feels incredible in this game. Incredible. I really, 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 really recommend people check it out.
What's it on?
It's on PC. And PC in June, I'm reading about it. Oh, it looks like it's also out on Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. So
everything.
Yeah, it's just out there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mighty Goose.
I would like to borrow a couple minutes of our show to talk about Nier Replicant.
Oh no!
Yes.
Can I take these? Can I take these Nier minutes on fucking credit, and then like later, like
that seems like
I can cash them in. Final Fantasy 14.
Okay, that's fine.
That is.
It's something. I mean, Nier Replicant is something. It's definitely something. I don't know.
Can't stop playing it, can you?
No, I did stop playing it now at the point where. Like, once the thing happens, I was like, okay, I get it. I'm done. I did too many side quests. Okay, how can I keep this very general in a way that Russ kind of talked about, Plant kind of talked about? There's two halves to this game.
Yeah.
Right? As there are to all things.
Sure, wow. Yeah, that's true.
But there's two distinct halves to this game. And there's a time jump in the middle. And if you don't finish stuff in the first half, when the time jump happens, you can't go back and do it except for one thing that is fish-centric. And I did a lot of the stuff. A lot of the side stuff in that game is interesting, and a lot of the side stuff in that game is horseshit. I mean, really, truly terrible. Because like I knew I wouldn't be able to do it at any point, I powered through almost all the side stuff in the first half. And then when the time jump happens, and you're kind of like not at square one, but it's very different. Well, not very different, but it like is definitely a big change. It's not just like here's the next level. It's there's a big shift. But I like couldn't. I was too.
No,
it was too much already. I couldn't keep.
No,
going.
Justin,
30 seconds into that, and I was like, I can't.
Justin, no. Let me. Sorry, just let me give like one.
I don't know how much longer it is. I have no context for
Justin,
that. I don't know if I'm halfway through. I spent so much time in the first half of the game that I got to the second part where it's a clean break. I'm like, I can't keep doing this.
The first part of the game is the bad stuff. This is like playing the RPG. You know how people are always like, oh, you got to play the first 20 hours of the RPG and then you get to the fun. You did the hard part and you've made it to the fun part. And now you're like, I'm good. I did the bad part.
I might have just needed a break. It was like, hey, listen, here's what I will say.
Yeah.
That I did not realize before that I would fully realize now. When Nier first came out, I played, I don't know, a few hours of it and then got mad about fishing. And then
You were a young man.
I was a young man. Thank you. And then I played Nier Automata and I was like, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
What does this have to do with Nier, though? Like, I don't understand what I have to do. Play Nier Replicant for an extended period of time, and especially, like, get through this first half, and the connections between the two become very... starts to feel very much of a piece with Nier Automata in a way that, like, I really don't.
I really want you to finish it now because you've made it to the good stuff.
I'm not going
to
finish it.
Not replay it five times, but I want you to get to the ending of just a playthrough because as somebody who likes Nier Automata, it's really worth it. You've really made it to the part where it actually gets good.
Honestly, Plant, I think you did ruin the experience for me overall, as you have with so many other things. To life, because when I was about to finish the first half, this little Chris Plant popped up on my shoulder and was like, "Did you get all the swords?" I was like, "Fuck, no, I didn't." You have to get them all, okay? Fuck, yes, all right, I'll go get all the swords.
I told you that you don't have to do that. We learned from the listeners. They let us know about 1,000
times. Yeah, but you can buy them. I'm not going to grind out currency. I'm going to go in and play the weird mist clone to get someone out of the dream prison.
Yo, this sounds
That's
good.
That's a thing in the game, by the way. It's like a very weird video game.
Sounds like a good game. I'm tempted, and I shouldn't even say this out loud, but I didn't really get into Nier Automata, but some of this shit sounds good. Maybe I played Nier Replicant first, and then Griffin, I go play Nier Automata.
Did you know that there's a Resident Evil sequence in Nier Replicant? Because there is.
There's also a
Diablo sequence in it.
Just
there.
Well, I've been playing Final Fantasy 14, and I did just get to the point where I can do a raid, so I could do the Nier raid now. So where does that fit in the canon?
That has a lot more to do with the Tracking Guard series. If you'd like me to tell you more, I can do that maybe off podcast.
I'm all caught up on 14 now. That's how I've been spending the 20 minutes every hour and a half that I get to live my life these days. I live my life 20 minutes at a time. And I also just got my fucking Minecraft server because they just updated it. I got that one back going. So I'll hit you boys up with the link so you can have some fun time building some fortresses. And that game's fucking bonkers now.
Yeah.
I want to play it one day.
But still no circles.
Still haven't. Well, that's not true. I found an orb.
Huh?
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. I put in a cheat code to make an orb.
All right, folks, thank you so much for listening to our program. You can follow us on Twitter at The Besties Pod. But the best thing you could do for us is to help with spread the word about the show. Word of mouth. That's you could rate, review. That stuff's all good. But if you tell some people you know, like, hey, you like video games? Here it is. These doofuses picked the wrong Resident Evil game and said a lot of bad things, but it's still a worthwhile listen. Next week, do we know what we're doing?
We do. Next week is a legit A1 big release in Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. I did say that this was the first PlayStation 5 exclusive since Demon's Souls, which is totally false. I apologize for that. Returnal obviously was the second PS5 exclusive, but this is the third. And by all reports, it's a very good game. So I'm very excited to talk about it.
And I feel like we're going to be absolutely, I mean, forgive my language, but balls deep in E3 news. It's going to be piling up all around us. God. The big show is happening. We're going to be there live on the show floor. Yeah. Of course, we're going to be there live. I already got my tickets booked to LA.
I'm going to be at the Ranch One in front of the LA Convention Center. So if you want to stop by, I'll be right there.
Russ will be in bikini shorts passing out Monster Energy samples. So check that out. Thanks so much for listening. That's going to do it for us for the besties. And be sure to join us again next time for the besties. Because you're the world's best friend through the world's best games.
Besties!